We began the last Sunday morning talking about the Pharisees. We spent some time in our Bible classes recently discussing the Pharisees and some of the specifics about the Sabbath and so on. But our study is looking at the Pharisees in general. And what I've been trying to do is to challenge us to understand what the Pharisees were really about, and especially what the Lord's criticisms of them really were about, and lessons that we can learn for ourselves. One of the things that many people think that the Lord criticized the Pharisees for was for believing that they needed to strictly observe God's law. What we learned last week was that, in fact, the Lord himself believed in obeying the law, God's teachings, not only obeying them, but teaching other people that they ought to, and pointing out when other people did not obey, showing them in love what they needed to do to obey. So he believed in obeying God's law, and he believed in encouraging and challenging other people to obey God's law. So that wasn't really the point of his criticism. In fact, as we pointed out, oftentimes he criticized them for not being strict enough. That is, for allowing people and encouraging people to do things that disobeyed God's law. So the Lord's criticism of the Pharisees was not criticizing obedience to God's law. He believed in that. And in fact, they themselves at times were not obedient enough as they ought to be. What he did criticize them for was, at times, was for practicing human laws, human traditions, rather than what God himself had actually taught in his word. And what I want to do this morning is I want us to continue and look at some other things that the Lord taught about the Pharisees. And again, challenge ourselves to consider, as we look around us, are people making those same mistakes? Then as we look at ourselves, are we perhaps making the same mistakes that the Pharisees did? So let's look next then at the question of self-righteousness, pride in our own righteousness. If you look at the scripture reading in Luke chapter 18 and verses 9 through 14 again, Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, here's a passage that helps us to define the concept of self-righteousness. And notice what it describes about the Pharisee in contrast to the tax collector. Luke chapter 8, verse 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here I believe we see the error of the Pharisees as regards being self-righteous. He's boasting, bragging about how good he is, claiming to be superior to this tax collector, this publican. And again, some people will say, well, see, if you believe that you need to strictly obey God's law, and tell other people that they need to change, they need to repent and obey God, then you're being self-righteous, like those Pharisees were. But the truth, again, as we've already seen, Jesus believed in obeying the laws of God, and he believed in teaching other people that they ought to obey, and correcting them when they would not obey. So that's not the problem. Obedience to God's law is never to be criticized if we're talking about real obedience to what God really said. So if Jesus isn't saying that the Pharisees were self-righteous simply for obeying God's law and teaching other people to obey, then what was the criticism? In what sense were these people self-righteous? And I believe there's two things that we can see, both of them explained there in verse 9. First of all, he says they trust in themselves that they're righteous. The Pharisee is boasting about his good deeds. He's exalting himself instead of humbling himself before God, instead of confessing his sins and acknowledging his failures and how much he needs God's forgiveness. He's telling God how good he is. He's not confessing his sins. He's confessing his goodness. He's not pleading for mercy. He's trusting in what he's done, that God should accept him because he's so good. That's exactly what it says. They trusted in themselves. That they're not trusting in God, but trusting in themselves. Apparently, he thought he deserved salvation because he'd been so good. Better than other people. He said, I'm better than this tax collector. Now, again, that's not saying that it's wrong for us to teach the importance of obeying God's law as Jesus did. We need to obey. But the truth is, no matter how much we may believe that, and no matter though we may be trying to do that, the truth is we've all failed. We've failed in the past, and from time to time we continue to fail. And that's the problem. The problem is not that we need to be good and should be good. The problem is there are times when we're not good. That's the problem. And that's why we need the mercy of God to forgive us, no matter how good a life we live in the future. We can never make up for the sins, even the ones we've already committed in the past, without the mercy and grace of God. And so to trust in ourselves that we're righteous based on all the good things we've done is to miss the point of real righteousness. Real righteousness, yes, does require us to do what God tells us in His Word, but it also requires us to realize that there are times when we have failed and we must have forgiveness of God. Otherwise, it's hopeless. That's the first part of the Pharisee's failure when he was self-righteous, was trusting in himself. The other thing was, it says, they despised others. Not only did he talk about how good he was, he's talking about how bad the other people are. I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. She said, not only how good I am, but how much better I am than other people. Despising other people. Not sincerely desiring to help. He didn't care about helping that tax collector. He's not pointing out the tax collector's errors to try to help the tax collector. He's pointing them out to try to exalt himself as being better. Look in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 10 through 13. Again, a passage that we've looked at some recently, but let's look at it more specifically now. Matthew chapter 9, as it applies to self-righteousness. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10 through 13. So it was as Jesus sat at the table in the house, this is the house of Matthew or Levi, the tax collector, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. You see, the Pharisees are objecting to Jesus associating with sinners and tax collectors because they thought they were too good to associate with such people. This was that view of that Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. I'm not like this tax collector over here. Yeah, I'm better than they are. And they thought they were so much better, so righteous, that they shouldn't even associate with people like that. They didn't realize their own unworthiness of being in God's association. That because of their sins, they didn't ultimately, if it was based on how good they were, they would have no business being in God's fellowship either. They were just as deserving of punishment as those people that they criticized. And Jesus' response to them is showing the importance of mercy, that he came to call sinners to repentance. And here's the fundamental difference. A fundamental difference between Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees treated other people as sinners so they could make themselves look better. And so they refused to associate with those people. Jesus associated with the sinners because he wanted to teach them out of mercy how they could become better and save their souls. See the difference? One is looking at how good he is and doesn't, and his only view of other people is to put them down to make himself look better. The other view, the view of Jesus, is to look at other people's sins, but yes, to try to help them to become better by the mercies of God. Look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 2. Luke chapter 15 and verse 2. Again, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners And each with it. Same criticism as we just read. But in this case, Luke records three stories Jesus tells about how much God cares about lost souls. The sheep that's lost, the coin that's lost, and ultimately the son that was lost. The story of the prodigal son. And that story shows, and all the stories really show, that the sinners need to repent, but in particular, God's joy when they do repent. And the story of the prodigal son, the father representing how much God wanted all sinners to repent. Just as that father wanted his son, the one who'd gone into error, to repent, God wants all of us who have been sinners, to repent of our sins. And he wants all of us to rejoice when people do repent of their sins. And he shows with the older son, who not only didn't rejoice when his brother came back, but was angry and upset. That's the illustration of the Pharisees. They didn't care about the sinner, just like the older brother didn't really care about his brother. Instead of rejoicing, he was resentful when the brother repented. And the end result of the story then shows that the real sinners here are the Pharisees. The prodigal repented, and he got mercy. The tax collector in Luke 18, he repented and pleaded for God's mercy. And the Lord said he went down to his house justified, rather than the Pharisee. The ultimate sinners here are the Pharisees, not because that they had done worse things, but because they didn't repent. They didn't see their sins and their need for forgiveness, but thought they should be saved on the basis of the good things they've done without realizing their sins and their need for forgiveness, like the older brother. They didn't think they needed forgiveness. Thought they should be accepted because they were so good. And therefore they remained in their sins and didn't receive mercy and didn't receive forgiveness. Now what should we learn from that today? Do we expect eternal life because we're so good? Or do we hope for eternal life because of God's mercy? We need to strive to be right. God will not forgive us of our sins. He will not justify us if we're not willing to turn from those sins and live a life of faithful service. The prodigal son had to repent before the father would give him mercy. The tax collector had to plead with God for mercy. We need to be willing to turn from our sins. We also need to admit that we have sinned. And we need